Hello, welcome to Crucified for Christ Ministries. If this is your first time listening to a sermon on this website, I just want to say thank God that He has directed you to this website. And I'm so glad you're here listening to this first sermon, if this is your first time listening to anything on this website. I'm just a humble voice from this ministry, nobody special. In reality, when you look at the scheme of evangelism or preaching, when you look collectively across America, I'm really a nobody, but to God I am somebody. And the heart cry of this ministry is never to be famous, never to have my names in light and people to praise me at all. If it ever grew where it was huge, this ministry was huge, God, that will not change. God will still get all the glory, all the praise, and all the worship. Well, Him I can do nothing. It's only through His strength that He gives me to press on. And I pray that you're here, that you will stay, and you will grow with us. I have more sermons. You can scroll down, you can see more sermons here. I have more on my archive tab, which is on, you can say, my homepage. Depending if you're look on your phone, what they call the sandwich screen, there should be a little three vertical lines. You can hit that, it'll actually show you all the tabs. If you're on a desktop or a laptop, you'll have a better range of looking at everything. The home screen shows up. You can look at that left and you can see archives. You can click on archives, shows you a bunch more sermons, over 500 sermons, maybe getting close to 1,000 now. All to check out, all free. I try to post devotionals throughout the week, Monday through Friday. I have a afternoon devotional tab there, but there's too many. I was putting too many devotionals in there, and it crashed that part, so I had to create another tab, afternoon devotional 2024, and probably, Lord willing, if I'm still around, God hasn't removed me from this earth and brought me home, I'll have an afternoon devotional 2025 tab for devotionals. Check them out throughout the week. Get encouragement. The goal is to be in God's Word. That's really what that's part of. In the morning, in the afternoon, before you go to bed, I encourage anybody listening to be in God's Word. I encourage you to have your scripture, your Bible with you when you're listening to a sermon. I encourage you, if I say something that's not correct or if I misspeak, which I am human, I can. Contact me. Several ways to contact me. Email. You can scroll down in the homepage. You will see an email there. You can type in the message. If you do email me, just make sure you put Crucified for Christ Ministry. So if it does go in spam or junk mail, I only check my junk mail once a month. So I get a lot of it. So there's a lot of deleting. So that'll just, when I look, I'll be able to see it and be able to get it. Probably the quickest way, though, is Facebook, PME, private message. You don't have to be a Facebook, part of my Facebook group to private message me. You can do that. I'm on Twitter a little bit, or X, regardless how you want to call it, and Instagram, I'm just a little bit. Me, you know, once or twice a week, I look at it, maybe. And I'm working on getting a P.O. box, so that'll be another way to reach out to me, is to write me a letter, or if you guys want to send cards or something like that, that will help. If you want to send, I don't ask for money, but if you want to send money, you can, that'll be another way. I haven't really figured out how to, I don't really ask for money on this, but maybe eventually getting a little donation button there that you can donate. But I ain't in no hurry for that. The goal is, you know, a way of reaching out to me if you have questions. It's the old traditional way, is to write a letter, send it to me, and I can write you back. But the quickest way is probably going to be through Facebook. For now, you can private message me with any questions that you may have. Any questions. I tried to provide a sermon a week on here. Doesn't always work out that way because I work a 40-hour circular job. Thank God, and I have a good job. It pays actually for this website. It pays for ministry supplies, so thank God for that. It's a small ministry, it's not huge. So I try to post one sermon. It don't always turn out that way because sometimes I may be off preaching out of town at a conference or teaching something somewhere, wherever the Lord leads me. So it don't always work out that way. I always want to make sure everything I'm doing in prayer. That's even with online posting sermons like this. Prayer is pivotal in the sense of, God, give me your direction. God, guide me. Tell me what to say. Because I'll mess it up, but I know if God's in it, His light will shine. And all you guys have been supporting this ministry and supporting, I mean, and you've been lifting it up in prayer and sharing it. Thank you, God. Thank you for that. Thank God for that. That of those that do that, that you thirst and hunger for His word. And this ministry is all about God's word. What does Scripture say? What does Scripture say? This is not a one scripture, two scripture kind of ministry. And then give you a bunch of stories and motivated speech to encourage you that you can be like a God instead of yielding yourself to the one true God. And that's basically the popular preaching today. If you want to be famous, you want to be a great podcaster and make millions upon millions of dollars, it's no secret. I've watched a ton of podcasts. I've listened to a ton of preaching on people that could even separate God's word truly. But they know how to motivate, to speak, to motivate the crowd. I can motivate a crowd if I really wanted to. And I probably could be living it up right now, but I couldn't live myself. The Holy Spirit. That's how when I look at guys like Steve Furtick and Joe Osteen, and they're doing this, they're not really preaching the gospel, they're calling their pastors, and they're not grieved, because I have that skill to motivate. But I know if I'd done that, the conviction of the Holy Spirit would rip me apart. That's how I question if they're even truly a child of God, because how can you keep week after week doing that without being torn to pieces? No, they go to their big mansions, their nice cars, their jacuzzis, and they don't care. Now, that's controversial. People don't care. But if you look at Steve Furtick, he is Elevation Church. You will know the Elevation music associated with his church. I encourage you not to when you're listening to music like Elevation, understand that they're under a wolf. When you listen to people like Hillsong Worship, which there's not many churches around like that after Brian Houston's being caught in his sexual perversion and his father. If you go and you can look it up, I think there's only one Hillsong church left, and that's in California. A lot of them just located to the other countries because they got more freedom there. They've been called out. But if you listen to stuff from Hillsong, recognize the foundation of who they're following. Wolves. Strongly discourage Hillsong music and Elevation Worship, especially within your church. It's just not good, because when you're doing that, you're actually supporting the wolves in sheep clothing. Now, Brian Houston, I don't know what happened to him, but, and this wasn't in my notes, but it needed to be said. I know I may sound like a broken record. Once again, God directs this, not me. I don't have a grudge to shake at these guys. My heart actually breaks for them, because if they don't turn from their wicked ways, what will happen to them? And I don't want to see Joel Osteen in hell. And I don't want to see Steve Furtick in hell. And I pray they repent, turn from their wicked ways. And I pray that you do too. But we don't support these guys in anything, from their music to their souvenirs to giving any kind of money to them. They don't need no money. They actually need to be defunded. The problem is people are not reading the Word of God. And that's what I want to strongly encourage you. As I preach and teach through this series, or in preaching through anything, have God's Word available. Have your Bible open. I go through scriptures pretty fast sometimes. That's why this is recorded. You can go back. You can look at the scriptures. You can, if you have questions, you can Facebook me, private message me, or you can email me. I ain't on Twitter much or Instagram, but there's some other ways you can reach out to me. Some of you guys have my private phone number, so you guys can actually text me that way. So we're doing this preaching and teaching sermon series on Psalms. And last week we finished up Psalm 1. So if this is your first time listening to a sermon or a teaching through this ministry, I encourage you to stroll down. You'll see Psalm 1 Part 2, Psalm 1 Part 1, and an intro to Psalms. This whole series is wrapped under this title, Learning the Psalms. Now, on the homepage on my website, Learning the Psalms, I also created another tab there so you can actually click on that. And when you click on that, you'll see Intro, Psalm 1 Part 1, Psalm 1 Part 2, and you will see Psalms 2 here. And when it's done, I'll post it on this one and in that area so you can be able to go to them. The reason I'm doing that, I'm preaching through Psalms and the Holy Spirit leads me to preach on something else for a few weeks, you'd be able to go back to that tab and listen if you want to over again. And then if we go weeks without going into Psalms, I can actually refer back to that, so you won't have to try to stroll through here and find this series. And I really struggle how to really present this so you guys would not have to stroll down there and find Psalm 1, 2. And if we're in 50 and we take a break, you don't have to stroll down. It's like, where's Psalm 1? Actually, on the learning the Psalms, you'll see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way up to eventually 150 Psalms. It'll be over probably 200 hours of teaching and preaching through this. And the reason is, and I kind of touched on this at the very beginning, is I want us to draw deeper and closer to God and seek to abide in Him. And the way, and through the psalmist, that it teaches us to abide more in Christ, to be more like Him. Through the pain and the stuff that we encounter in this life, we have to be solidly firm in our foundation in Christ. And Psalm 1 really goes into that foundation. I encourage you, Psalm 1 sparks the rest of the Psalms. The title of that Psalm 1, Part 1, Part 2 was in His way, His path, His direction, like that. So, and what path are you on, or what direction are you on, and that's the key. That's why I want you to keep asking yourself through this Psalm, what path am I on, what direction am I on, what. You know, the Psalms really open that up, and when it opens up, it allows us to examine our heart and see where we are in Christ. So that's really the thrust of this whole series, and I pray that you're getting that from that, especially if you've been listening to Psalm 1, Psalm 2, now Psalm 1, Part 1, and Psalm 1, Part 2, and now Psalm 2. So today we'll be in Psalms 2. This may be a part two, but we're going to read through the psalm, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to go into Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against His anointing, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sit in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in the wrath and vex them in the sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, I shall give thee and the heathen for thy inheritance, in the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possessions. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them into pieces like a potter vessel. Be wise then, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling. kiss the sun, lest he be anger, and ye perish from the way. From his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all that put their trust in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come before you and thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just getting into your word. Holy Spirit, move as you see fit. Guide and direct this preaching, this teaching, as you see, God. Lord, I pray for those that are hearing this, that they will look deeper into their hearts, examine their life, and ask the question, am I on the right way? Am I on the right direction? Am I on the right path? Do I have a heart that is in full allegiance to God Almighty? Or I am in the rebellious ways that leads to destruction? God, Lord, I pray, Lord, over everyone here. They may be going through things in their life. They may be experiencing the pain of this life. God, we lift them up in your holy name. We know through the ups and downs in this life, you will guide and you will direct. You will give us comfort through those hard times and guide us in your direction. Light our path to those around us to reach in, even if our hearts are in turmoil and we're under direct attack from the enemy, from spiritual warfare. You give us strength to press on and to reach into this darkness and be that light to those that need to hear about the hope that's living inside us. Holy Spirit, just move. Holy Spirit, just guide. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the title of this psalm, if you're taking notes, this is the title of this. It may be a part to this, but it's a title. But its title is a question. Are you in rebellion to God? Are you in rebellion to God? Now here in Psalms 2, we have a psalmist, and some believe that this psalmist was David because of Acts 4, 25 through 26, that says, who by the mouth of the servant David said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? That comes straight from Psalm 2, verse 1. And the apostles are saying, particularly Luke, which wrote the book of Acts under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote with verse 26, there's a little slight deviation, but the point is in 26 says the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against the Christ. It still has the same thrust as verse 2. Psalm 2 verse 2 said the kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers counseled together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, saying this, and this is what they say in verse 3, but we'll get to that later or maybe next week. And we'll talk about that word anointing a little bit, but that anointing was referring to many things, but here it was referring to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So this is why some, or maybe many, contribute Psalm 2 to David. Once again, we do not know truly who is the physical author of this psalm, but we do know the spiritual author of this song. 2 Timothy 3:16, I pray that you memorize this verse because it's so pivotal and important. A lot of people know John 3:16. Many people need to understand this one too, because God's word is being attacked. But 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture from Genesis to Revelation is from God. If you're taking notes, write that down. This statement is under attack. especially here in America. They tell you all scripture. Not all scripture is inspired. I'm going to tell you all scripture according to 2 Timothy 3:16. Not my opinion, but God's word. And we go to God's word. When men go against God's word, I don't care how long they've been preaching. I don't care how popular they are. I don't care how well they motivate you, make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. And they go against God's word. They are not agents of God. They are agents of Satan. When they question the inspiration of God, when they refute sound doctrine, which is going on numerously within churches, especially here in America, they're denying sound doctrine. Some don't even like to use the word doctrine. I want to tell you, God's word speaks about doctrine. We speak about doctrine. When a preacher is up there and telling you he don't want to talk about doctrine, what is he telling you? He's saying, I don't want to tell you about sound teaching. Oh, my friend. Educate him or get out. Shut the door so fast and move on. All scripture. I personally like to contribute this psalm to David as David's song. But if you don't want to, that's okay. But we all shouldn't recognize once again who is the true author of scripture. The one who created the heavens and the earth. God Almighty. And you can see the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit on David here. And also other psalmists. Throughout Psalms. Because David speaks on things that he truly, I don't believe, understood. That we understand today. Because the Holy Spirit moved in him. Because God, the Holy Spirit, knows the beginning from the end, my friend. All we got to do is trust in him and obey him. Follow his way, his direction, his path. What's the question that you should be asking yourself through this Psalm 2? Are you in rebellion to a holy God? Are you in rebellion to a holy God? Now, to look deep into our life, to examine our life, to see if we are in rebellion to a holy God, we must look at the world we are living in. And how are we interacting with this world? David here opens up with a question with the Holy Spirit pouring through him in verse 1, Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? David looks around him and he sees defiance all around him. It's important to note that word heathen here. Why do the heathen rage? Heathen can also be translated to nations. The NKJV, the New King James Version, has nations here. Understand, heathen and nation, they can be used interchangeably. Other translations have that. So if you have a New King James, I believe even the NIV has nations here, and it may be the NLT too when I was looking and studying. There's nothing wrong. Heathen and nations, they go together. So you can say, why do the nations rage? I actually like that word nations better here. One Bible commentary puts this definition of the word nations as this. And I'm going to mention some scriptures here, but I'm not going to read them out. So if you're taking notes, you can go back and you can write them down. Go back to God's word. Once again, I push you to God's word. I want you to be a breathing. I want you to study God's word and let the Holy Spirit pour through you. You will not hear preachers today encouraging their congregants, to majority of preachers today, you will not hear them encourage their congregants to get in God's word. Be students of God's word. I encourage you here to be a student of God's word. That's why I give a bunch of scriptures. Write them down. Go back, go into God's word and study them for yourself to show yourself approved. But this word nation can often used to refer to a non-Israelite Gentile nations that surrounded the nation are Israel. You can see this in Deuteronomy 4:38, Joshua 23:13. And these nine Israelite Gentile nations that surrounded this nation of Israel, defined by their political or territorial affiliation or ethnicity. It was also used by Abraham's descendants, the nation of Israel. You can see this in Genesis 12:2 and Genesis 17:20. When used of other nations as descendants, the nation of Israel, Genesis 12:2 and 17:20, just mentioned that. When you look at that, when these words are used of other nations or group of people that were usually pagan and described as wicked, Deuteronomy 5:4-5. While understanding Deuteronomy 32:21, detestable Deuteronomy 18:9, 1 Kings 14:24, 2 Kings 16:3, 2 Chronicles 28:3. They were also referred to as idolaters. 2 Kings 17:29, ruthless, Isaiah 25:3, uncircumcised, Jeremiah 9:26. The Lord scoffs at the nation, Psalm 59:8. Yet is the uncircumcised, Jeremiah 9:26. The Lord scoffs at the nation, Psalm 59:8. Yet is the nations whom the promised Messiah would redeem, Isaiah 2:2. Isaiah 2:11-10. That's Isaiah 2:2, Isaiah 2:10, Isaiah 2:11, Isaiah 42:6, Isaiah 60:10. And I say all this to show you that David and others, they are seeing the wickedness all around them. They're seeing the detestable, the idolatries, the ruthlessness, this rebellion against the true living God, and they're pondering, why are these nations in rage against the true and living God? Why are these people in these nations imagining a vain thing? And here's one key that provides insight if you're in rebellion to God. Are you grieved by all the ungodly you're seeing today? All the people doing a vain thing. This vain means can translate to emptiness, senseless, futile. You look at your nation, you see the emptiness, the senselessness, the futile actions that are going against the one true living God. And this should break our heart. This should grieve our heart. It should grieve us. And you should be praying, God, open their eyes to the rebellion before it's too late. June 1st, Pride Month. Straight rebellion from God, right? They thumb their nose up to a holy God. They give a middle finger to the sky. And guess what? Many today, they're professing to know Jesus Christ, even saying they are gay Christians. They're in complete rebellion to God. You got many popular preachers out there that won't even approach the subject. And when they approach the subject, they try to fishtail. But when they're painted to the wall, they will cave because they do not practice sound doctrine. They don't want to lose their money or their following. They are in rebellion to a holy and righteous God. Homosexuality is sin. Transgender is a sin. Cross-dressing is a sin. Practicing witchcraft is a sin. Idolatry is a sin. We call out our nation for what it is. They practice these acts of sin and try to glorify it through God's word, but they're on that path that is wide, that will lead to destruction, to hell. Many are on that path, that way, and only a few are on that narrow way that leads to everlasting life, heaven. You know God is in control, and you know God will have the last word. Regardless how much a nation and her people or that nation's people rebel against the one true living God. It's all foolishness. Because our rebellion will not change God's plan or diminish His control. David continues in Psalm 2 verse 2. The kings of the earth sit themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointing, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let's cast away their cords from us. Oh, such rebellion, my friend. Emptiness, senseless, futile. The kings of the earth, the political and national leaders around them, raising their fists up to God, saying, God, we got this. They're in complete denial. And they may believe they are a God. Or they may say there is no God. All this boils down to this. They want to live the way they want to live without moral compass around them. They want to do what's right in their own eyes. And they want to do anything in their own imagination, regardless how wicked it may be. They want to be ultimately their own God. Make their own destiny. Just as the garden. When the serpent, Satan, tempted Eve. Genesis 3, 1 through 6. I encourage you to go back and read through that, because I hit that. We'll be here for another hour. But the same lie. You'll be as God. Same lie today. We want to be our own God. Right? That's what it all boils down to. We don't want somebody to tell us what is wrong and what is right. We want to tell ourselves what is wrong and what is right. When God's word is surgical, it cuts to the heart. And it tells us what is sinful and what is not. I can't help but think of Solomon and Gomorrah, right, in Genesis 19. Solomon and Gomorrah had many sins. But one of the principal sins was what? A lot of people that try to support homosexuality, they try to go against these verses, saying Solomon and Gomorrah was not like that. But when you study deep in the history context of Solomon and Gomorrah, you will know better. Genesis 19, 4 through 5 says, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they came unto Lot and said to him, who are the men which came in thee this night? They were watching. Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And that know here means sexual relationship. These angels, they appear to be men, and the men were wanting to have sex with them. To me, that's plain. This was a principal sin. True Hebrew biblical scholars translate that word to know, to have sex with. There are many out there that don't understand, and I don't profess to be a Hebrew scholar. I read a lot. But when you look at replical Hebrew scholars, they translate this word to sex. Don't listen to somebody from TikTok that can barely determine if they're a male or a female. They're already confused. They're under the blindness of the enemy of this world, Satan. They are worshiping a god of this world that has blinded them from the truth of the gospel. Of course they're going to believe that. The men of the city of Sodom wanted to have sex with these new men that came into this city. But not only homosexual was seen in Sodom and Gomorrah. Ezekiel 16:49-50 says, "Behold, this was the iniquity of the sisters of Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, the abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither she strengthened the hand of the poor and needy. They were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good." God looked down at Sodom and Gomorrah. He's seen their pride. He's seen how full of bread, meaning their substance eating. They didn't hunger. They had plenty. Their abundance and idleness. They were lazy. They were idolatries. They worshiped other gods. They didn't care about the poor and needy. They were hasty and they committed abominations for me. And God said, "I took them away as I saw good," meaning He destroyed them. They had pride. They didn't care. They were complex. They were their idleness, unconcern, privilege. But the principal sin was homosexuality. And we're seeing that sin spread like gangrene in America. Don't think the judgment of God is not going to rip America into asunder. When I look at Sodom and Gomorrah, I look at America. I would even venture to say that Sodom and Gomorrah, America is the new Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, scholars will debate if we are worse than Sodom and Gomorrah or we are on that path. I personally believe we are worse. And that will not make many people happy today. You may say, "Hey, America got many churches." But the reason I say they're worse is because of the perversion of the churches. The distorting of God's word. And millions flocking to it. Most majority of churches are empty graveyards. But what comes out of their mouth is not the gospel, but a perversion of the gospel. Look at what sells. I've talked about this. Joel Osteen, Steve Furtick, Kenny Copeland, Benny Hinn, John Hagee, Greg Law, list goes on. What are they preaching? Or supposedly preaching? Or what they are preaching as the gospel, but it's not the gospel. Steve Furtick teaches that we can be a god. Kenny Copeland, Benny Hinn, I'm not going to go deep into these guys. You can go and do your own research. They believe they can command God to do their bidding. That even I would even venture they believe they are our God too. Joel Osteen, he doesn't believe preaching on hell and sin, which are critical in understanding salvation. Greg Locke forced his wife. Well, first he had sexual relationships with another woman. Before he divorced his wife, and then he divorced his wife to marry the woman, and he's glorified. To me, he should be exorcised and removed from ministry, period. The list goes on and on. But this is what sells. Majority of those that profess to know Jesus Christ look up and want to follow these guys instead of God's word. When we call out these wolves, guess what happened? Men like me, we get attacked violently from Facebook to whatever social media. If those people get away with, they could physically attack us, they would. I live in America. I believe this is where God is calling me to stay. I believe this is a great missionary field. It's a tough one, but it will get worse. But God never promised us an easy life, but He does promise us that it will be all right in the end. through the ups and downs, especially when it comes to preaching, teaching truth, right? Especially in America where sound doctrine is not looked up on, but frowned on. But look at America today, homosexuality running rampant. This sinful act is not going away. Look at the transgender movement from schools to our homes. Look at the tax of traditional marriage where our nation it just frowns on that. America rages against those who hold that marriage is between a man and a woman. America rages against those that believe that sex should be confined to a marriage or covet. Look at abortion. How our nation rage against those that preach and stand that all life matters. I promise you, you will not ever have to guess where I stand on these matters. While those as Steve Furtick and Joel Osteen and others, you have to guess what they stand on. If you have to guess what they stand on, you should already immediately know where they're at. We're not called to be secretive on where we stand in God's word. We call homosexual out as sin. We call abortion out as sin. We call adultery as sin. We call fornication as sin. We call idolatry as sin. We lean on God's word because He tells us to call it out. But many ignore God's word. Why? They're in rebellion to God's word. I pray people like Joel Osteen, Steve Furtick, I pray they're just ignorant. Because if they know the truth and they reject the truth, meaning they're not repentant, they will experience the depths of hell that I would not wish on my worst enemy. Because their rebellion is set on what they can gain, the material things in this world. Their works are dead if they're rejecting truth. And they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And guess those that are following and support them. They will also not inherit the kingdom of God unless they repent. Because they reject true men of God, warning them to stop supporting and listening to these guys. Other than it's just to say, I'll listen to Joel Osteen and Steve Furtick. Just know what the enemy's up to. But they choose to let these men tickle their ears with lies, and they listen to these lies, and they ignore the voice of truth flowing through true men of God, with the Holy Spirit burning like fire. We want to center on God's word. We meditate on God's word 2 times, night and day. We love truth. We love God's word. It is the final authority, not a man or a woman's word, but God's word. I don't care how well that man or woman can speak, entertaining and motivating you. If they're not centering on God's word, they don't need to be listened to. But our nation rages against God's word. Our nation rages against all that stand on God's word. When we say it's not okay under any circumstance to murder a child in the womb. And when we say marriage is between a man and a woman and sex is only within the marriage covenant, they rage. When we say we should be mindful of what we watch and listen to, they rage. When we say God calls us to live a life separate from this world, what do? They rage. And if you hear everything I'm saying and your rage, you should immediately already know you're raging against me, you're attacking me, you're in rebellion against the one true holy God, and get right with Him. You can cut it off and go your own way. You will. Scripture tells us many will go down that wide way to destruction. Many, and few will go down the narrow. I know many will not receive these messages. In the end, it may even cost men like me or women like me standing on God's truth. It may cost us our life, or we may end up in jail. But we, as truly children of God, we're okay with that. Try that at a big evangelistic conference. See how many confessions of faith you get. You want to go to jail for Jesus? You want to lose your head for the cause of Christ? Come on up. Count the cost. You won't get too many happy. You won't get many coming up there. You give them the fuzzy and warm version of the gospel without giving them the depths of what it means to be a child of God. That all of this is causing you anger and at me and rebellion. You're not rebelling against me. I'm just a messenger. I know we're the easy target and it's easy to attack us. But you're not attacking us. You can attack me. You can throw me in jail. You can chop my head off. I get to go home. If you chop my head off, physical death does not scare me. Torment, I mean, I don't want to be tormented. I really have a clean death. But what it be, I'll follow where he needs me. This is the mindset that is lacking in most of American churches. They're comfortable. They're pew warmers. If they even go to church, they may be streaming it online and sitting on their couch now. No emphasis going out into this world and reaching those for the gospel, which God clearly calls us to do. But David here, he's looking, he sees the rebellion of the nations around him against the truth. And God is the only truth that matters, my friend. In verse 2 of this psalm, David uses this phrase, his anointed. Or the anointed one, in some translations put it. In Hebrew, this can refer to any anointed king. He was seated on the throne of David. And this phrase can occur about 40 times in the Old Testament. The phrase was used to refer to the office of a high priest. You can see that in Leviticus 4:3. Or Kings, which is Samuel 1, 1 Samuel 24:6, Isaiah 45:1, or patriarchs. Psalm 105:15, or prophets, 1 Kings 19:16. One commentary puts it this way: to be the Lord's anointed imply a special relationship with God, being chosen, consecrated, commissioned by Him for a special function or task. But ultimately, the title finds its fulfillment in the New Testament. In fact, Christ is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew term Messiah, both meaning the anointed one. The psalmist refers to the anointed one that goes beyond David, King David, to the Lord Jesus. Who is the Christ? The early church would have understood that this psalm was fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to Acts 2:32 says, this Jesus had God risen up, we all witness. Hebrews 1:5 says, for unto which of the angels said, at any time, thou art my son. This day I will beget thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be like a son. Hebrews 5:5 says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he said unto them, thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. Here David writes. And now there's a big gap here in Psalm 2 to the coming of the Messiah. Right? His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. And I believe this is divine, inspired by God for David to pen this. Because God is in control, right? Even all these nations are rebelling against God. And it was so amazing about this is also pointing these nations will continue to rebel against God. And we know that God is Jesus Christ and that anointed one, his given son. They will constantly rebel to the very end. That's why America rebels against Jesus Christ. Why do you think Jesus Christ, when you say his name on television, or when you say his name around people, they get uncomfortable? Why do you think our political and national leaders are cautious in using the name of Jesus? Why do you think the media, the movies, and the garbage cuss the name of Jesus? They're in rebellion against Jesus. What do they leave? What do they? Verse 3 says, "Let us break the bands asunder. Let's cast away the cords from me." This is pointing. This is what we'll do. We don't need Jesus Christ. We'll break the bands asunder. We'll snap them. We'll cast their cords from us. They rebel against the Anointed One, our nation, America, and other countries around us. They rebel against the Anointed One today. And you may be in rebellion to God. The question you should ask yourself, are you in line with this world that's rebellion against God? Are you in line with God and you're going against that rebellion, saying y'all need to repent and turn from your wicked ways? You cannot partner with both. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he shall hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon here can refer to money, possessions, fame, status. What basically all boils down to, whatever you value more than the Lord. Jesus Christ says, no one, not you, not me, not us, we cannot serve two masters. We'll hate one and we'll love the other. That's sad truth. Many who believe they can serve two masters, they're professing to know the child, that they're a child of God. They want all the things of this world while they're trying to live for God. I will tell you, it's not going to work out for them. I will tell you, if you truly are His and you're in true allegiance with Him, I mean, you're not in rebellion, the things of this world will have no hold on your life. Not popular, but the truth, right? Your desires, your goals, your passions, your decisions, your dreams. You want all that to line up with God's desires. His goals, His passion, His direction, right? His dreams. And if this is not happening, it grieves us. Oh, if you're not grieved, you want your own way, your own direction, your own path. You could care what this man is saying to you that is speaking from God's word. You are in rebellion to God. If you're in this world and you're loving this world, you're drinking of her poison and you're loving it, you're not in allegiance to God. You are in rebellion to God. If you don't have a heart for those around you to reach out into them and tell them about Jesus, you're in rebellion against God. Not popular. We only get one physical life. We do not get a redo. What will people remember about you when you die? Most are pushing so hard to get a promotion at work or the next raise, so they can buy all the material things in this world that will not melt to a hill of beans if God took them that day, that night. But if your mind is geared to the things of this earth, right, and not the things of God, guess what? Good chance you will not inherit the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of Satan. When it gets not popular, but needs to be preached, right? Once again, not popular, but needs to be preached and taught. Probably why I don't get called to preach at many churches. Because I don't go along the lukewarmness. to deviating from the truth that God tells us to preach and teach on. Once you truly come to Jesus Christ, you place your trust in Him. You believe that He is the Son of God. You believe He died on the cross. You believe He rose that third day from the death. This faith brings the Holy Spirit into your life. The Holy Spirit holds you together. He comforts you. He guides you. He convicts you. He chastens you. He leads you to truth. And the truth changes you, right? This is a part that's missing in many churches. That change, that regeneration, that sanctification. We are new in Christ because we are changed. We are supposed to walk a life that is different from this world. We are supposed to be sanctified, not a very popular word, but a word that is biblical. You will not hear this word, sanctification, speak in churches. I'm about to speak on it right now, but I want to tell you, if this word grieves you, that's good. It means you need to repent. If this word makes you mad, and you say, I'm not going to listen to what this guy is preaching, this garbage is coming out of his mouth, Scripture is coming out of my mouth. And if you're going against Scripture, guess what? You're in rebellion against a holy God. I don't care what you've been hearing from your popular televangelists. I don't care what you've been hearing from your popular preacher like John Hagee. You're in rebellion against God, or Joel Osteen, or Steve Furtick. I can listen to garbage coming out of their mouth, and I only can think of the grace and mercy of God that has not struck them dead where they stand. But we're supposed to be sanctified. John 15, 1 through 5 says, and here's Jesus speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bear not fruit, He take it away. Every branch that bear fruit, He purge it, it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, that abide in me, I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye. Except ye abide in me. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches, and he that abides in me, and I in him, same bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. This abiding, this sanctification that Jesus is speaking, because we are pushing to be more like him. We don't want to look like this world. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. And the word of truth. God's word is surgical, my friend. God's word will expose where our heart's at. Oh, should we be men and women of God that pray, that expose my heart, God. Expose if there are any iniquity that be in my heart. Purge it. Cleanse me. Make me new. Oh, if you have this heart, cry. You are on the right way, in the right direction, the right path. Romans 6, 1 through 11 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, are of dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? We're baptized in His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also shall we walk in the newness of life. Sanctification, right? For we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, being more like Jesus, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we are dead with Christ, we believe that he shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Death have no more dominion. That physical death has no dominion over him or us. For he that died, he died unto sin once. But he that lived, he lived unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead and unto sin, be alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amazing. We are new in Christ. Sanctification points to this newness. We do not want our old man, our old self. We want to crucify that daily. We do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are what? Sanctify." Sanctify is a word from Scripture. Do not let no preacher tell you sanctification is not important. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We are supposed to be sanctified. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Are you new? Now, I'm just pointing Scripture here that you understand the importance of sanctification, of this regeneration. Ephesians 4:20-24 says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, but so be that ye heard him and have been taught of him as the truth of Jesus. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, renewed, sanctified, and ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Another word that is not very popular, holiness. That holiness can break down to sanctification, setting us apart from this world. We are not supposed to mimic this world. We are not supposed to be comfortable in this world. We are supposed to be uncomfortable. Why? Because we are different. This part of being different is such loss within the church today, because they are mingling with the world. They are fornicating with the world. They're committing this unholiness of the world, but they want to profess to know Jesus. Many are within the churches not married and having sex with one another. As preachers are not calling it out and preaching from God's word, course in love. But you should not be having sex with somebody that you're not married to. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being comfort of very things, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." That is that sanctification that is pushing you. Philippians 2:12-13 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you always obey, not as my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation, fear and trembling. For his God which work in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." Amen. Work out your salvation with fear. That's reverence and trembling. 2 Thessalonians 5:23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That I pray God, your whole spirit and soul, body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." And the last scripture here that I'm going to use, and I could go more, I just wanted to give you guys a foundation of a set of scriptures. I encourage you to go back and look at each of these scriptures. And I encourage you to read through these books. But Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by one offering he had perfect for ever then that are sanctified." We are sanctified. I could actually break down each of these scriptures and go into another hour or two of a sermon about sanctification. Because you're not hearing that word today. It's not a popular word. Most popular preachers and teachers, they will not preach on it. They will not teach on it. Why? Because it does not sell. Today's American Christianity is a business consumer mindset. Where can I make money? How can I bring in more people? They ask themselves that instead of saying, hey, I want to be truthful to God's word. And if it doesn't make me popular, if it doesn't make me famous, that's all right. I am popular and famous in the eyes of my God. And we, if we're not in rebellion against God, hearing these preachers spout their garbage will grieve our hearts. Why? Because we are rooted in God's word. And when we're rooted in God, we are what? Biting more, right? Remember? John 15, 1 through 5. We're abiding in Christ. When we're abiding in that closeness, that is through our Bible reading and our prayer life and good Christian fellowship with like believers that wants to abide in more in God's word and to pray together, there is power in that unity. And when you have that power, you see through all the deception that is going on. And I promise you, when you truly look at the deception, it will blow your mind. We need more biblical preaching and teaching today in America. But this is controversial. And I get it, and most of you guys won't probably agree with me. I believe we're too far gone here in America. For vast majority, don't want to hear sound doctrine. They will keep heaping men like Joel Osteen. There will be people that are lining up to take his spot. I can mention names that you don't know, but they're kind of in the background. They're going to take his spot, and they're going to see Furtick. There's people in the background. When you really look at it, and I have exhaustively, I believe when it's all said and done, truly here in America, 1 to maybe 2% of Americans will cling to God's word truly and believe to live their life through the lens of Scripture. You may think that's controversial, and many of them will be within our church walls. They will seek that compromising of the world because they have already compromised their life already. I believe true preachers and teachers of God's word, we will be ostracized here in America. Our reward will be a lifetime in a jail cell or possible execution. And I'm not saying this is making me happy. I pray that I'm wrong and I don't profess to be a prophet. I barely profess to be a good preacher or teacher. I just love God's word. And I pray through this that you get more into God's word. And closing this out, and we got to verse 1, 2, and 3. There will definitely be a part 2 here, because I try to keep these about an hour. But the question I want to ask yourself, and I pray that this sermon, this teaching series, or the sermon right here helps you out to answer that question. Are you in rebellion to God? If you say no, amen. But if you truly look at this and you look at your life and you say, yes, I am in rebellion to God, I want to tell you, here's your chance to turn from that. If you're saying things like, I want my life to be my way, I want my goals to match up with me, I want my dreams and plans, I want all of this to match up with me, and I wanted God to tell me what my life should look like, you are in rebellion against God. I don't care about what your pastor, your teacher, your parents, your friends, your husband, your wife, etc. tells you. If you're going against God's word, if you're seeking your own path, your own direction, your own way. You're a part of the rebellion. And they're encouraging you to stay on that path and that direction and that way. They're in rebellion and they're trying to keep you on that path. They are a part of the kingdom of Satan and they want you to be part of this kingdom of Satan too. And I'm just a humble man praying that you realize the reality of your situation. And I want to pray that you look at it. You don't have to pray anything complicated. God sees you. He knows your heart. He knows where you truly lie. He will give you the words to say, not me, not your pastor or whatever. Yes, he can help us ultimately to guide you and direct you, but ultimately it's between you and God. You bow your heart before him, you lift your cries up to him, and just let the Holy Spirit pour over you. When you truly do this, you will never be the same. Yes, this life will still be hard, and yes, this life will still kick you all around and back and forth. But you know the true purpose, right? To reach out into this world, to seek his direction, his path, his way. And to reach out into this world and tell someone about Jesus. Because when it's all said and done and this life is over, we get to go to our true home, heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just close this out, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. Lord, I pray through this series, God, that you just... it reaches into whoever will come across this and listen to this. Lord, I pray, Lord, that it wakens, it shakes them to go, just go into Scripture. To not take my word, but to go into God's word. Every scripture that was used here today, they will go back into that scripture, study it, study that scripture, study in context of that book or even to the whole Bible. God, I pray that a fire is ignited into their souls to get more into your word. Lord, I pray those that may be listening to these popular false teachers, these false pastors out there, God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that the hold is broken. Lord, I pray that their eyes are open to the real truth. I don't know how many will accept it. I don't know how many is going to reject it. But it's not my business to know the numbers. My business is to say, thus said God's word, and leave it where it stands. God, I pray as we close this out, God, that you just be with us as we continue the rest of the day. To seek you our rest of the night, if we're working a night shift or with our family, that we seek you more than anything else. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. You guys have a good rest of your day. If you're listening to this at night, you have a good rest of your night. Maybe you're listening to the weekend. I hope you're having a good weekend. I record these normally on Saturday, so tomorrow's Sunday. I pray that you have a wonderful Sunday service and morning service and evening service. And tell someone about Jesus, right, in between, all around, and that nights throughout the whole week from Monday through Friday or Saturday, that you're reaching wherever God has you to those. But you can reach out to me through this website. You can email me, you can X Twitter or Instagram, or you can Facebook me. Any questions that you may have, some of you guys already have my phone number, so you can call me or message me that way. I get to you as fast as I can. I work a 40-hour job. I know some of you guys work more than 40 hours, but in reality, my 40-hour job, and then a lot of these sermons I pray over and seek over, they're more than 10 hours of studying, and so a week, but God moves, and he knows. I just You know, I handle God's word very carefully as much as I can. I wish I could study a lot more than what I do. But I can misspeak. Once again, if I misspeak, please call me out on it. I will not get angry. Now, if you hurt your feelings and you just want to give me your mind because I hurt your feelings, then you're going to have problems. I'm not here to hold your hand and tell you all the comfortable lies that you may be used to listen to from your popular preacher or your podcasters like Sadie Roberts and them, which are the Duck Dynasty. These people are jokes when it comes to God's word. And it's sad, but it's just reality. And Sadie Roberts, I believe, is truly being groomed to be the next Beth Moore or Joyce Myers. And it's sad. Maybe the Lord will interfere with that and deal with that. And I pray that she comes out of all that, of course. And I'm a native Louisianan, so that hurts because there are native Louisianans too, and that really breaks my heart. But the way you reach out to me is through those means. Some of you guys have my personal phone number, so you can text me. I get to you as fast as I can. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day or night. Bye.